Many of us here who have been attending for more than a few weeks are aware of the seven principles that Unitarian Universalists affirm and promote. Principles or value statements that are part of the covenant of Unitarian Universalism. We've been committed to those same principles with just slight modifications to make them more inclusive since 1985. I bet if I asked you the first principle, you could call it out to me, right? We covenant to affirm and promote. That's pretty good. I have heard over the years the profound, did everybody hear it though? Did you get that? We covenant to affirm and promote the inherent worth and dignity of every person. And I have heard over the years the profound importance of this principle in our lives, this grand universalist theology, our fundamental worthiness, how when spoken, this statement lifts up each one of us in our own uniqueness. And part of the mission of this congregation is to make that vision real, to see each other, to value others, to deepen our own understanding of and action of this principle. Now, you did really a great job. Can you name the second principle of our faith? Call it out. I know. I get that. I had to look it up. The second principle from the covenant is justice, equity, and compassion in human relations. In the book, The Seven Principles in Words and Worship, Emily Gage elaborates on the second principle. She says, justice, equity, and compassion in human relations points us towards something beyond inherent worth and dignity. It points us to the larger community. It gets at collective responsibility. It reminds us that treating people as human beings is not something that we simply do one-on-one, but something that has systemic implications and can inform our entire cultural way of being. She goes on, compassion is something that we can easily act on individually. We can demonstrate openness, give people respect, and treat people with kindness on our own. But we need one another to achieve equity and justice. Justice, equity, and compassion are all part of the same package. Just as the second principle overlaps with the first, so it is related to the seventh principle. I bet many of you can name this one, right? The interdependent web of existence. So what does this mean in practice? How can we not only affirm these values of justice, equity, and compassion, but practice them? How can we actually move to create justice in the world? So I have two ways today, and maybe by the end of the service, you'll discover even more ways. And I'm going to warn you right now that I'm going to do this thing in just a minute where I'm going to invite you to break into dyads with just one other person. I'm warning you so that you might be thinking, oh my gosh, who's that person going to be? Hopefully just someone right next to you, but we'll find somebody on the end if it doesn't work. Don't get too worried. First, we're going to talk about our new pronoun ribbons. In October, we were fortunate to have our member, Nancy Stauffer, in our pulpit. It was a well-received Sunday. Nancy is coordinator of diversity programming at Fort Lewis College. And Nancy talked to us about language and, in particular, how we refer to each other to help make everybody feel welcome. And I'm going to quote her from that Sunday. She said, let's talk about pronouns. Folks who are cisgender, who identify as the gender that's assigned to them at birth almost always use he or she pronouns. For transgender and non-binary folks, those two may not feel accurate or comfortable. So many have embraced using they or them pronouns. And some people may find this an adjustment, a challenge to make this an adjustment. So Nancy goes on and she says, to that I would say, try harder. Well, I wasn't there. I wasn't here that day, but I knew about that was going to happen, and I felt excited that the LGBTQ team, as part of our larger social justice team, was going to be making the name tag ribbons available for everyone who wanted one here in our fellowship. As Nancy Stauffer lifted up awareness and welcoming people to be their authentic selves, she reminded us that the ribbon or the sticker or the pronouns or the smile is a way to say, don't be afraid. It's an invitation to the LGBTQ person to be seen. But it can still be confusing, right? I know what pronouns I use, and you've known me for a long time, and you know my pronouns, so why do I need a ribbon? But wait a second. Nancy said that the ribbons were for the other person to feel more comfortable. When I wear them, they feel seen. I remember that just last year, I told you the story about the very first time that I participated in the Welcoming Congregation program way back in the early 90s. It was when I was a member before I went to seminary. I was a member at First Universalist Church in Denver, and one of the activities undertaken by those that were part of the Welcoming Congregation program was to wear a button or a pin or a ribbon or something that showed, not just here in church, but out when we were out in the community, like at the grocery store and other places in the community where people might perceive that identification as me being a member of the LGBT community. And I remember feeling a bit of trepidation. As a cisgender, straight person, I was afraid of other people's reaction to me. I didn't want to suffer disapproval. I realized then, back then, how hard it was to simply be out in the grocery store. And these days, really, probably since that time where I really struggled with that discomfort, I'm honored to wear something that identifies me as someone who offers welcome. It's not about any bravery or courage on my part, but it's my acknowledgement of what I call straight privilege and the movement of the general population to be more accepting of difference. And so we're being invited to move out once again, remembering that church, we'll just call it that for today, church has had a reputation of being unwelcoming. It's one of the reasons we have our rainbow flag outside the front door so that we make it clear to folks thinking of crossing through that threshold. Church can be a really difficult place for someone to show up for the first time. The fear can be either of being ignored or overly focused on. And if you are someone who doesn't clearly fit the gender binary, male or female, whatever that looks like, then it can be even more frightening to show up. Last year, I said it's risky business when belonging is the profound need. So when I wear my correct pronoun ribbon that for me is she and her, while it may seem obvious to me, I am showing you, as someone new, that I respect your inherent worth and dignity to choose the pronouns which best fit you and define you and help you feel like you belong here and help you feel known. When we do this small action together, just like the book that Tara read to us, when we do things together, it grows and we create more justice, equity, and compassion in our fellowship, in this community of Durango, and then in the world. Now, usually we have a chance to come back in after the service and take a deeper dive in reflecting, but that's why because we've got an important stewardship event and we want you to come back for that. I'm going to invite you to take a minute right now. So please turn to someone next to you. And if you got caught at the end of the aisle and you don't have a partner, or if you got caught in the middle, raise your hand so that you can quickly find someone to listen to. Okay, does everybody have a partner? Raise your hand if you don't have a partner. Okay, everybody has a partner? But you're already talking and I haven't. Wait, one person, raise your hand to be Robert's partner. Oh, over there, there's people over there. Robert, will you run over there? Run over to Ken. Here's the question. Because you don't have very much time, I'm going to give you a minute. It's okay, so let's think before, okay. What pronouns do you use and why? First part of the question might be easy, second part maybe a little harder. Or go. You have 1 minute. You listen to the other person. Okay, guess what? That's me again bothering you. Well, how did it go? Did you each get a chance to share? Yes? Somebody didn't get a chance to share? Yeah, you were supposed to. Sorry. Were there a lot of people who only one person got to share? Okay. I'm hoping that you each got a chance. Did it feel obvious? Or did maybe harder than you thought? Let's turn back around. We're going to do it again one more time, but come on back for a second because I did write some more things that I wanted to share with you. This is a great idea. I need to do this every week. Let's remember that each person's response is valid. And let's remember that as each person begins to feel more comfortable expressing their choice, that we see every choice as valid and recognized. And if it still feels uncomfortable, I believe that practicing new pronouns at home is a good response. I have a colleague that I had unknowingly misgendered. I thought I knew what this person's pronouns were. And another colleague told me I was wrong. I see that person from afar. I don't have a chance to interact one-on-one, so I didn't know. So my other colleague told me that that person uses the pronouns they. And so I had to work on remembering because I already had the wrong thing in my head. So because I made that assumption. So I've been working on it, practicing at home. My shift, my change now becomes an action for justice, helping someone who has been marginalized feel more welcome. Okay, second one. practicing justice, equity, and compassion. I also choose to make concrete my acknowledgement of people by bringing home a guest at your table. I've done this since I was a kid, so it's probably a lot easier for me to do this. You have heard from Richard its importance as a way to support the Unitarian Universalist Service Committee. It's another way to create more justice, equity, and compassion in human relations. And each time I see that box, that it's this visual symbol and connects me. It connects me to those people of the stories that Richard told you about. But also because of change, right? I just heard a younger minister say that they weren't using this box anymore at home because people don't carry change. I know. But as an older person, I still have change in my purse. And at home, I have a big jar full of pennies and nickels and dimes. And I have, they're really Ron's, but, but, you know, we share. And I have some dollar bills that I can fit through this slot. And on the days I don't, I can fold up a little note of gratitude that I can put in there for the UU Service Committee and the work that it does, so that every day I'm paying attention to what matters and that every day I put my faith into action. And at the end of the month, or just before I come back here for Christmas, we're going to have a tree, and I will take out the nickels and the dollar bills and the marbles and the safety pins and the what other things I have been stuffing into the box. And I take out those things and replace them with a check written to the UUSC. And I bring the box back to our fellowship and place it under the tree as a ritual act. And now I'd like you to meet with your partner again. So you're each going to share. I'm going to give you one opportunity to share and hope you'll switch right when you've done that, right? You want a halfway ding? All right, I can do that. I can do that. It helps because, you know, some of us like to have others listen to us. Notice how I don't have a partner. Sorry. Okay. So this time I will give you a halfway ding, and you're going to listen to your partner for a minute and ask them, or I'm asking you, here's what your partner is going to say, if you've ever placed a box on your table during this season and why. You each get some time, about 30 seconds or so, without interruption. It actually, 30 seconds is a long time if someone is not interrupting you. So you'll listen. I'll ring the bell, the chime halfway through. And hang on a second. Okay, do you have your partner? Okay, ready? Do you remember the question? Have you ever put this under your on your table and why? Let's start. Second person. And time's up. And come back to your seat. And know that we have just created two ways to create compassion, make more justice, work for more equity, both near and far. Nice. The class we're doing, What Moves Us, has just reviewed the influence of minister and ethicist James Luther Adams. He reminds us, we are not a religious tradition with a creed, but a religious movement that has always wedded social justice work to theology. We are creative and creating. We revere deeds over creeds, and we believe that an unexamined faith is not worth living. May it be so. Blessed be and amen.